higher ground in the things of God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'd like you to begin with verse 9. And we'll go down through the end of the chapter. If you remember, we are talking about discovering who in Christ. In Christ. And so, you know, we've touched on the whole thing of self. Who is your identity? You see yourself. And I think one of the greatest examples we've used thus far, if you remember, is the thermostat example. If that thermostat is set on 70, it tends to keep the temperature in the 70 range. And your self-image, that is how you see yourself, is like a thermostat. It will keep you within that range. Therefore, if you come from a background where you were told or it was implied that you can't do it, you're not smart enough, you don't qualify, you'll never have anything in life, you'll never own a home, you'll always be making minimum wage, etc., etc., etc. And if you buy into that, in other words, if you buy into that thinking, we call that the in Adam mentality. If that's how you see yourself, it's just like that thermostat. As soon as an opportunity comes your way, you'll be self-defeating in the sense it'll pull you back down to that poverty level. Yeah. To that poverty level. And so what we want to do is we want to discover not who we are according to our drug background or our alcoholic background or even the achievements we accomplished in our own power. We want to take the limits off and discover who we are in Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus. Now let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this will emphasize, as I said earlier, the importance of you continually asking. There is nothing wrong with you continually praying, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that ought to be just a daily prayer. Holy Spirit, lead me into who I am in Christ. Paul said that. He said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Holy Spirit, today, move me up to higher ground. See, you don't just get it one time and leave it. Every day it's a discovery, a new level. Why? There'll be new situations that you need to apply the in Christ mentality to. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I want you to mark that phrase, hath prepared for them that love Him. How many of you love God? Wave at me. All right, that's everybody. Guess what? God has prepared wonderful things for you. You say, well, Brother Jason, that verse right there says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. You have to understand that the Apostle Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. And he's saying in the Old Testament, they did not understand really the mission of Jesus. They didn't understand that he was going to come and die on the cross. If you look at the verses above, it says if they had known the principalities and the powers, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But look at the next verse. They didn't know, but guess what, folks? By the Holy Spirit, we can know. We can know. It says in verse 10, but God has, everybody say has. Ooh, I like that. Not one day will, not in sweet by and by. It says, but God has revealed them unto us, mark this, by His Spirit. And so we must begin to see that this is not something we can just get with our natural thinking. And I'll tell you, one of my prayers on a regular basis is, Lord, help me not only to see, but to walk in who I am in Christ. Now you see, just because I walk in the reality of that today doesn't mean that tomorrow when those set of circumstances come, I may just revert right back to the in-Adam mentality. And we've all experienced that, you know, where, you know, you just walk in the victory today and praise God. You just feel good. You're abiding in the Lord. And the next day, here comes a whole new problem your way. And the first thing you do is you don't yield to the Spirit or you don't yield to in Christ. You go out there and try to wrestle that thing down with yourself. You get all beat up between the eyes. Bap, 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 bap. And you come back. God, I could have sworn you sent me out there. The Lord says, you've got to go in my armor. You've got to go in my power. You've got to go in who you are in me. Oh, yes, Lord. I remember now. And you put on the new man. How many of you ever had that experience? See, where you get out ahead of God and you're not in Christ. All right, look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, you ought to mark this, even so the things of God knoweth no man, mark it, but the Spirit of God. Now I want us all to say this out loud. The Holy Spirit, is my instructor in Christ. The Holy Spirit will lead me to my new image, my identity, the true me in Christ. And so let that just be a regular prayer. Holy Spirit, show me who I am in Christ. Holy Spirit, reveal to me who I am in Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things. He shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. What? By Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me in who I am in Jesus. Now, I want you to mark verse 12. Verse 12 is a wonderful verse. If this is not marked in your Bible, you ought to mark verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know..." Ooh, look at it. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Isn't that wonderful? It's freely given. Everybody say, freely given.
Freely given.
Now see, the first thing the devil's going to want to do is he's going to come over to you and say, "Why, you old ugly thing, you. Why, just look at your background. Or go look in the mirror, you know, you ugly thing, got a pimple on the end of your nose. I mean, blah, 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 blah." And I mean, he'll just come in there. And he tries to disqualify you from the wonderful things that the Lord has provided for you. I heard a story about all the demons getting together in hell. You know, the demons get together each morning real early to get their assignments and go their way, you know, and so forth. And so they were working on this one particular Christian. And we'll call, you know, the Christian Bob. We'll just use Bob, for example. Oh, hey, Bob, there you are, Bob. And so, you know, they were all just around the tables real early, you know, demon time. And in walks Satan. Oh, they snap to attention, salute, sit down. And they begin to go around the table and they give out the assignments. They come to Bob. And Satan says, "You know, Bob's been making too much progress. I mean, Bob, you know, we've got to do something about Bob. Demon number 101, Bob is your man today." And the demon goes, "Oh, no. Last week I had him. He just beat me all over with the sword of the Spirit. Please give me anybody but Bob." "No, you've got Bob. But we've got to undo him." We don't know what. We've got to undo him. He's beginning to discover. He already messed up. He's saved. And now he's starting to discover who he is in Jesus. He's thinking different. We've got to mess him up. We're open for suggestions. And all the demons, you know, they all carry those little bags, you know, like little doctor bags, you know, all the little tricks. They put them up on the table. One demon raises a little bony hand. He says, "I've got an idea. Throw a good-looking woman his way. That really works. That's always worked historically." No. Bob's committed to his wife. He's faithful. That won't work. We got to be a little more subtle than that. Do we have any other? Bob says, "Amen." His wife just went, "Wow." I get myself in trouble preaching like this. "Oh, do we have any other ideas?" "Oh, put him in a car wreck. He'll blame God. They usually blame God for accidents. Do that." No. He knows Psalm 91. He's walking in the protection of the Lord. Something a little bit more subtle. Anybody got... Finally, the little demon raised his hand, pulled it out on the table a little. He said, "This one always works. This one always works." And all the demons hissed, yes. And you know what that trick was? Condemnation and discouragement. And I'm telling you what, the devil will use that tool in your life perhaps more than any other one. Where he will come to you and just as soon as your thinking begins to turn on, the light begins to turn on. Hey, I can have a new identity. I've got a new ID. Hallelujah. In Jesus. A new ID in Jesus. I've got a new self-image. I'm beginning to discover my potential. Not in myself. Not according to what my dad said or the Sunday school teacher said or the military person said. I'm discovering who I am in Jesus. The devil will try to come along and he'll say, "You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Just look what you did." Do you feel condemned already? And he'll try to put condemnation on you. And what you must do, go back to that verse. Look at verse 12. Freely given. Everybody say freely given.
Free.
Everybody say freely given.
Free.
Look at verse 12. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us in God."
Praise God.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And so you just say, "Devil, you know what? I don't deserve it. But devil, because of Jesus." Everybody say because of Jesus.
God.
Remember, we're talking about discovering who you are in who?
Christ.
In who?
In Christ.
Not in your good works. Not in all the great things you can do. Certainly we're not saved by good works. We are saved unto good works. But you're not saved by good works. And you're not going to walk in victory because of your goodness. It's going to be because of who you are in Christ. But see, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know." How many of you want to know? How many of you want to walk in this in a greater degree? higher ground, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Everybody say, we speak.
We speak.
Circle those two words. You've got to start talking about them. You've got to start talking about them in your life. As soon, you know, husbands and wives, you get in on this too. My wife and I, we do this. I mean, inevitably, we will face situations where we come home and we got the yeah-yeahs. You ever had the yeah-yeahs? How'd it go today? Yeah. Write that down. That's important. Yeah. Don't ask me how to spell it. I don't know. Yeah. Husbands and wives, help each other. Help each other. Point one another back to the Word. Who you are in Jesus. Not in a condemning fashion. Don't Bible bash them. But use the Word of God and lift them up. Honey, this is going to work out. Our God will supply our needs. Well, look what God's done in the past. You remember how God delivered us last year? Yeah, that's right. And you begin to help one another put on the in Christ mentality. But Paul says this. Look at verse 13. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, because man won't teach about this, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know what I think that's a real reference to? Spiritual things with spiritual. I think he's talking about the Word of God. He says, you know, we go back to the Word. We speak the Word. We're talking about spiritual truth, not what the world's philosophy would teach us, but we go back to the spiritual realities that the Holy Spirit has shown us. Verse 14, but the natural man. I want you to circle three things. I want you to circle in verse 14, the natural man. Go down to verse 15. I want you to circle the phrase, the spiritual man, or the spiritual. There's three types of people. In verse 14, the natural man. In verse 15, it says, he that is spiritual. And then go to chapter 3, verse 1, it says, carnal. And so you begin to see there's three categories of people. There's the natural, there's the spiritual, and there's the carnal. Now, let me just summarize these very quickly for you because we don't want to linger too long on this. I want to really get to where we're supposed to go tonight. The natural person is the non-Christian, the unsaved person. Why do you call that person a natural person? That's the way you naturally come out of your mama. You come out and you don't know the Lord. You don't have the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you're going to grow up into that knowledge. Now, you're covered by the grace of the Lord until you come to age of accountability. But you don't have the Holy Spirit just in you because you were born in this world. How many of you know that? And so here you come along. You're a natural person. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's impossible for a non-believer to understand spiritual things because they don't even have the Holy Spirit in their life. Do you see that?
Yeah.
All right, the next category. Look at verse 15. It says, but he that is spiritual... It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Mark this now. But we have the mind of Christ. There it is. We're talking about discovering who you are in Jesus. A spiritual person is the one who's not only saved, watch this, but they've put on the mind of Christ. Do you see that? A spiritual person is not somebody who has dreams every night about frogs and snakes. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, brother, I'm really spiritual. Last night I had a dream. Oh, what did you dream? Well, I don't really know what it means, but it was for you. What was it? Well, I don't know what it would mean, but Brother Jason, I just saw you with snakes all over you. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that dream. And you know, we tend to think that people that are goofy are spiritual. And there's a problem with that in many circles. You know, the more goofy they are, then they must be spiritual. Wrong. What is a spiritual person? A spiritual person, you write this down. Number one, they're saved because they've got the Holy Spirit. But more than that, they are yielding to the influence of the Holy Spirit, particularly in their thinking and their acting. In other words, they are judging and discerning things by the Spirit. They don't just go headstrong in there doing what they want to do. They're weighing it out by the Holy Spirit. And then look at verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. They have put on the in Christ mentality. They're thinking and walking by who they are in Jesus. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was only two categories?
Yeah.
Either natural or spiritual. How many of you know there's something in the middle there? Well, Brother Jason, I wish, where am I? Because I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking in that. You are what the Bible calls carnal. In other words, you're saved, You have the Holy Spirit, but you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. How many of you know there's millions of Christians like this? Millions of Christians who they've accepted the Lord somewhere back, and they're really good people, but they're not pressing in. They're not trying to put on the in-Christ mentality. They're not yielding to the influence of the Holy Spirit. They may even be Spirit baptized, but according to the Word of God, they are not yielding to that spiritual nature within them. They're not putting on the new man. And so he says in chapter 3, verse 1, and he's rebuking the Corinthians for this. He says, "And I, brethren," please mark the word brethren. He calls them brothers, so they must be Christians. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He says, you're not spiritual Christians. You're carnal Christians. He says, not as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. In other words, he's saying this. You're Christians, brethren, but you're acting like little baby Christians. I would expect this of baby Christians who don't know any better, but you are acting still like baby Christians. You're yang-yang and complaining and you got strife and you don't know who you are in Jesus. You're not walking in the reality of who you are. You're just walking around even as unsaved people. You're acting as though you're unsaved. Look at it in verse 2. He says, "I fed you," chapter 3, verse 2. "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able," verse 3, "for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you," and here's some of the indicators that they're carnal: envy, strife, divisions, arguments, "are you not carnal, and walk as mere men?" He says, I know you're brothers. I know you've got the Holy Spirit, but you're not walking in the mind of Christ. Now this may seem silly, but I want everybody to do this. Put your hand right up on your head. Come on, everybody, put your hand right up on your head. I want to just say, "Oh Lord, help me to put on the mind of Christ, to think in line with God's Word, to discern in line with God's Word, to yield my thoughts and my actions with who I am in Jesus, the mind of Christ." Amen. That's God's desire. Now, folks, this is not just some little side issue. This thing about discerning or discovering who you are in Jesus, this isn't just some little sideline. This is the main line. God wants us to walk as spiritual. That is, those who have the mind of Christ and have put on the mind of Christ, and they're walking in it. They're walking in it. Now, tonight, I want to give you four simple keys, and I want you to write these down, and I will repeat them a number of times so you can get them. But I want to give you four simple keys for discovering who you are in Christ. Four simple keys that will help you ever discover, not just once, not twice, but I mean walking in a continuous fashion, discovering who you are in Christ. Number one, here's the first key. Write this down. Number one, you must find out what God's Word says about your position in Christ. Can you see that? How can you walk in it if you don't know about it? So the very first key is to find out what God's Word says about your position in Christ. Find out about it. Now, how are you going to find out about it? You're going to have to do something called study. Didn't that give you goosebumps? Ooh, wasn't that a good feeling? Everybody say study. I wouldn't blame you if you just fell out on the Holy Spirit saying that word. Everybody say study. Now let's even make it more exciting. Everybody say self-study. Woo, boy, I tell you what, that'll give you charismatic goosebumps right there. See, here's the thing. People, they want to come to church. They want to kind of sit in the nest like the little birds. Little birds. You know how the little baby birds? They just sit in the nest making noise. And they're waiting on the mama bird to fly in there with a big old worm drop in the mouth and fly off. And that's the way a lot of Christians think they're going to be able to grow. But there comes the magic day when mama bird says, "Honey, sit on the side of the nest." "Okay, mama." Whoop! And that mama bird knocks that little baby bird right out. And that baby bird goes, "Oh my God, it's falling." And you better learn how to fly on your own. Are you hearing me? You know, how many of you ever remember the old full-service gasoline stations? You know, those were a piece of cake, man. Nothing to them. All you do is pull in and sit there. You do nothing. You sit there. This little guy runs out and you crack your window. And I mean, if it's raining, if it's cold, you do nothing. You just sit there and watch the poor guy. You know, he's getting tortured out there. And you just say, "Fill it up." Everybody say, "Fill it up." And so this guy runs back there, and you get to even watch him in the side mirror there. "I'm glad I'm not out there. Look at him. Let me fill it up." And then he comes back and he hopes that's all. But you know, that's not all. You say, "Check the oil." And so the poor little guy runs around there, and you pop the hood, and you can look at him. Hi, you know, and he's in there checking the oil. And then he comes back, you know, and he says, "Ma'am, is that all, sir? Is that all?" "No, there's bug juice on my windows. Would you clean these bugs off, please?" And so this poor guy's out there. And then there comes the day where they invented something called self-service. Everybody say self-service.
Self-service.
Now, I can remember the first time I ran into a self-service. I pulled in there, you know, and I didn't realize it had gone from full service to self-service. So I just sat there, irritated. Nobody's running out. I'm just like, you know, boy, I tell you, America's going to pot. Man, you can't get help these days. You know, what are the kids coming through these days? When I was a kid, man, you know, and all this stuff. And finally, you know, you get out of your car and you walk in there and say, "Excuse me, can somebody help me out here?" And I remember the guy, he pointed to the sign. He said, "See the sign?" He said, "That side that you're on is now self-service." Well, it's obvious today, but when he first said that, I thought to myself, huh? I looked up there and I went, self-service? And I walked back and, you know, now watch this. I had seen him a million times in the rearview mirror take the little trigger deal out and put it in there. But how many of you know the first time you did it, I mean, you don't want to look uncool. I mean, that's bad to look uncool. So you pull that deal out and you stick it in there and you go, "Come on now, go, pump, pump. Do it, do it, do it. Pull a mic on him." I said, "Do it now, do it." And really, you know, I can remember it's silly because now we all know how to do it. But I can remember kind of going over there and studying that pump. And you try to think, how do you turn this thing on? Finally get it turned on. How many of you know it's amazing what you can do without when it's self-service? Oil, it's probably okay. Hey. Bug juice, we'll look around them. I mean, you know, I can still see a little bit out the window. Now, if I could relate that to this whole realm of you're going to have to discover, find out yourself what God's Word says. Thank God for church. When you come to church, Pastor Paul and Pastor Sandy and the other leaders, they run around, they fly, and that's great. They'll bring you a little big juicy worm. If you've run into devils that week, they'll clean your window shield off. But how many of you know on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they can't go babysit you? You've got to discover who you are in Christ. For yourself. Find out about it. Why? Because you cannot have faith in something you don't know. You can't have faith in something you don't know. Now go with me to the book of Philemon. Hang a right. That's the best I can give you. Hang a right. Just before the book of Hebrews. Does that help you? Just after Titus. Timothy, Titus. A little book called Philemon. And I want us to look at a powerful verse. We're talking about finding out what God's Word says about your position in Christ. This is the first step or key. If you're going to discover and walk in and who you are in Christ, if you're going to get your new identity, your new self-image built up, you've got to find out what God says about you. All right, Philemon, and let's look beginning with verse 3. Philemon, and we'll begin with verse 3. And I'm going to read it first of all out of the Bible I use, the King James Version, and then I want to read it out of the Amplified because it really gives some additional insight. Philemon verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." Now, I think you ought to mark that. Paul's saying, "I'm praying for you." And in a moment, we're going to see what Paul's praying. It's very similar to the same prayer we saw in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul said, you know, "I'm praying that your eyes would be open," etc. Verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which thou hast toward Jesus and toward all the saints." Now look at this. Here's what I want you to see. Mark verse 6. "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual." Mark this. "By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." There's our phrase that you need to mark. In Christ Jesus. Look at it again. Verse 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Look at me. How many of you want your walk in the Lord to be effectual? All right. Not only your walk. How many of you want your example or your witness to be effectual? You know where it's going to begin with? Mark it. He says in verse 6, "By the acknowledging of every good thing." Everybody say good thing.
Good thing.
Some of you don't even think there's anything good in you. I'm here to tell you, if you're a Christian, God has put a good deposit inside of you.
Praise God.
And you're going to have to acknowledge it. You can't go around saying, well, I'm a loser. You can't go around saying things like, well, I was born to raise hell. No, you were born again to destroy hell. You were born again to raise heaven, praise God. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. You can't go around saying, well, I don't have enough. When in fact the Word of God says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. Everybody say riches.
Riches.
Ooh, I like that. Everybody say riches.
Riches.
Listen, you know, somebody say, well, I don't like talking about money in church. You're going to be awful uncomfortable in heaven because He don't pave His streets with asphalt. He paves His streets with gold.
Amen.
Somebody says, I like that gold up there, but I just need a little bit down here. Have you ever prayed like that? God, just sling one of those manhole covers down here. Hallelujah. A warped one. I'll take a reject one. Just throw it on down. You know where it's going to start? Look at verse 6. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in where? You. Everybody say me. Everybody say in me are good things because of Jesus. Good things are in me. Well, let's think about that. What are some of the good things in you? Somebody says, well, I tell you, I just have no patience. Don't say that. If you are a Christian, you have the fruit of the Spirit in you. You simply need to learn to yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Don't go around saying, well, you know, I just have an explosive temper. I can't control my temper. That's in Adam thinking.
Yeah.
In Christ thinking is this. I had an explosive temper.
Yeah.
My old man has been crucified. And I'm learning to put off the behavior of the old man. And I am putting on self-control, which is fruit of the Spirit. And so you're going to have to acknowledge the good things that are in you if you're going to ever walk in this. So you've got to find out about it. And then you begin to recognize it. Oh, it's there. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. And don't go around and say, well, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
When the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you got to think different. You're really putting on a new mentality. And I'll admit, in the beginning, it's going to be W-O-R-K. It's not going to be easy. I'd be lying to you if I stood up here and said, oh, I can just lay hands on you, pour 10W-40 on your head, rub your hair off the top of your head. Oh, glory to God, you've got everything there is. No, we can get you started by praying for you.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to dig, and you're going to have to do like Philemon was encouraged to do. Acknowledge, recognize the good things in you, and begin to put it on. That's going to make it effectual. Now, I want you to see this in the Amplified. Follow me again in whatever version you have. But let me read this out of the Amplified. I'll begin again with verse... Well, let me go to verse 6 for the sake of time. Let's just read verse 6. Paul says, and this is the Amplified, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I want you to understand it, appreciate it, recognize it, precise knowledge of every good thing. Say every good thing.
Every good thing.
Say every good thing.
Every good.
Well, what does every good thing mean? It's the whole spectrum of who God is, what God has. It's in you. In you. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the character of God. I've got it. The gifts of the Spirit. That's the ability of God. I've got it. The provision of God. I've got it. It's in me. Glory to God. There's an inheritance in me. Now, folks, you can't wake up in the morning and start thinking like that and go out and have a bad day. You go out and you begin to think like that, devils are embarrassed to be around you. I mean, you just smell different. I mean, there's an aura around you. I mean, you know, it stinketh in the nostrils of the devil. It's a wonderful smell in the nostrils of God. Hang around smoke, you smell like smoke. You begin to acknowledge every good thing and discover everything. Find out what God's Word says. I'm telling you what, you're on your way to victory. You're on your way to victory. You're on your way to victory. I can remember, because of the way I had grown up in all that type of abuse and alcoholism and things like that with my father, I can remember how I would have dramatic mood swings. I didn't realize it, but I really do think that demons had demonized me as a young man just by the atmosphere that I had been in. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, guess what? The devil don't play fair.
Amen.
He doesn't wait till you're 21 years old and you've been to a spiritual warfare conference and you understand all the rules of the game. He'd just soon attack you before you come out of your mama's belly.
Uh-huh.
And kill you in the process if he can.
Yeah.
And I can remember I'd have mood swings. I'd walk for 2 or 3 weeks and, you know, just seem to be doing fine. It'd be like I'd crash for 2 or 3 weeks. Not just normal depression. I'm talking about incapacitating. If you've never had it, thank God. Some of you can relate to this, but just incapacitating depression. I wish I understood. I wish I'd had this tape set. It would have been worth $1 million to me if I had had this tape set. What happened? I began to study the Word of God. I began to discover, quite by accident, quote, who I am in Jesus. And guess what? That in Christ mentality, that's what I call it now, the understanding, just like Philemon, began to displace and push out that in Adam mentality. And basically, I got what you might call a self-deliverance. Not that I did it myself, but I mean, nobody laid hands on me and got me delivered. The Word of God came in there and began to wash and wash and wash. You know, when you turn on the light, the dark has to what? Go. You don't walk in the room and start screaming, oh, darkness, oh, you mean darkness. Oh, you darkness, I command you to go. Now, what would happen if you came into this auditorium and you saw, you know, one of the leaders in here just stand there, oh, darkness, you go, 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 go. I mean, we act silly sometimes when it comes to the devil. Just flip the switch. Everybody say, flip the switch.
Flip the switch.
Then somebody who's got a little smarts than you do, they come over there and they say, Brother so-and-so, the light's right over here. Flip. And darkness what? Goes. And so, number one, you must do this. Number one, you must find out what God's Word says about your position in Christ. Now, just write these down quickly. We'll not turn there. But let me just give you some of the main ones. And I've already alluded to them. But, you know, you never know where people are in their walk with the Lord. And I want you to mark these down. Number one, here's a tremendous discovery. Number one, Philippians 4:13. Don't turn there, but just write it down. Philippians 4:13. Do you remember that one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, think about that discovery. I can do all things. And so here comes the opportunity to take the supervisory position. And the first thing the devil, I told you he's going to come to you with condemnation. You're not qualified.
Yeah.
You're not smart enough to be a supervisor. You don't have the training. You don't have the background or whatever it may be that's coming across your path. I can do what? All things through who? Christ who what? Strengthens. And so you begin to say, Lord, I thank you that you're strengthening me. I can do it. I'm going to yield to the strength of Jesus, not my own ability. And Father, I just thank you that you're going to qualify me in the process. And then you act like you know what you're doing.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Fake it until you make it. Praise God. You fake it until you make it. We're going to be talking about this. If you have to, do it afraid.
That's right.
If you have to, do it afraid. But do it. All right, number two, write this down. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. We said that. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches, what? In Christ Jesus. Now, there's the phrase. We've been talking about in Christ, in Him, in who? What does that say? My God shall supply what? All your needs. Now, that's one that you need on a daily basis. You discover that and you begin to put that mentality on and guess what? Lack will never whip you again. Lack will never whip you again. You face lack, you face a challenge, you put that one on, and you're walking in who you are in Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. Number three, write this one down. Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The verse above that says, as it is written, we are sheep led to the slaughter. Paul says, no. Everybody say no.
No.
Everybody say no. And he gives a whole list there and he says, you know, we've been under this attack and that attack. Are we going to be a sheep led to the slaughter? The answer is no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. You go through life, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. And the last one I'll give you, there's so many, as we say, it's endless. Number four, write this one down, 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus has been made unto you wisdom. Write these down. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So you face a problem, you don't know what to do, you just say, Jesus, I thank you that you're my wisdom, and I yield to your wisdom right now. And even as James says, I ask for wisdom from above. Show me what to do. And you're walking in an entirely different posture than the world knows about. The world just tries to do the best they can. We don't do the best we can. We do the best God can do. All right, number two. Here's the second main key. We said, number one, you must find out what God's Word says. And here's key number two for discovering who you are in Christ. It's not enough to find it out. Write this down. You must see yourself. You must begin to see yourself as God's Word says you are. You must begin to see yourself. It's not just enough to have that head knowledge, folks. You're going to have to change the picture on the inside of who you are. You must begin to see yourself as God's Word says you are. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Are you getting something out of this? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. And underneath this one, seeing, I want you to write this one word, imagination. Imagination. You're going to have to start using your imagination in a proper way. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight trying to prove to you you've got an imagination. The Word of God says you do, and you know you do. We see things, we imagine things, we dream about things. People call it different things. Visualize, picture, imagine, whatever you want to put to it. The point is this, you can use your mind in a way that can look to the past and remember, and your mind can go to the future and begin to construct what you would like to see, or what God would like you to see. That's the proper use of it. But here's the point. You must begin to capture the power of your imagination and use it in a right way. A right way. You see, the world, boy, they really build on this. That's what TV and commercials and billboards are all about. I mean, how many of you know you drive down the road? I mean, everything now they attach to sex. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't buy a tube of toothpaste. It's got sex appeal. Get that toothpaste. Hey, get this gum. You can kiss a little bit longer. You know, buy this one, you get two for the price of one. And there comes two girls that look just the same. You know, double your pleasure, double your fun, double something, whatever it is, you know. And on you go. I mean, there's a Coca-Cola can, you know, and a Coca-Cola bottle. And the bottle is whoop, whoop, whoop. And then right beside the bottle is another whoop, whoop, whoop. And you're sitting there. And I mean, what are they doing? The world is trying to get you to use your imagination in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Now, how does this tie into what I'm talking about? Okay, I see right there that I'm more than a conqueror. There's words on the page. I've got to take what that fact is, and I've got to begin to apply it on the inside and see myself as someone who is a conqueror over that alcoholic problem. I see myself as someone who's a conqueror over that anger. I see myself as a person who's a conqueror over that depression. I see myself as a person who is a conqueror over that bitterness. Instead of going through life imagining and seeing yourself as a loser, begin to see yourself in a new role where instead of walking up and going wham and knocking their head off, you walk up and you go, bless you in the name of the Lord. Now I'm telling you, this is a battle in the beginning because your flesh is not going to want to do this. Your brain is so used to running down the wrong track, you jerk it over here and say you get on this track and start running with God, your imagination will try to fight you every step of the way. But here's the thing. Once you begin to see who you are in Christ, it'll get easier. The battle will get easier and easier and easier. And it'll be more comfortable walking in the new man than it was walking in the old man. See, I've had to do this. It's not only character. I've had to do this with this whole radio ministry that we've been pressing into. I mean, it's been difficult at times for me to see myself on 100 radio stations. Why? I know what that represents more than probably you do. I know that 100 radio stations very well represents about $100,000 per month of billings. I know that 100 radio stations represents an office with so many workers. It's a whole lot more than, and that means salaries and on you go. I know that it means tape sets. I know that means more computers. It means a whole lot more than just being on 100 radio stations. But I have started capturing my imagination. And there's nights where I lay down and I just envision, okay, there's several more desks. I can see the computers. I can see the new workers. I can see myself writing a check, $100,000. And I can see myself putting in the envelope and licking it with anointed spit. Well, Jesus spit on their eyes, I can spit on the envelopes. Amen? And I can see myself sticking a little stamp on there and say, there it goes, paid in full. Now, you see, your flesh will begin to kind of buck up against that because you're not comfortable with that. But you've got to start seeing it. You'll never get there if you don't see it. Did you know our world has been absolutely revolutionized by just a handful of people? I mean, if you really take the people like Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, the Wright brothers, you could probably fit in this one room the people who have significantly altered our entire world. They had to see the possibility of a telephone before one ever existed. He had to see the possibility of an incandescent light bulb before nobody had ever seen one. They had to imagine a machine that could fly through the air, heavier than air, yet fly through the air, before anybody had ever seen one. They had captured their imagination, and they began to see it before it was. And because they saw it, it came into being. That's a powerful thought. Everything starts in the imagination. And listen to me, that works good or bad. Uh-huh. Remember Jesus talked about it comes out of the heart? Do you remember we talked about the autopilot system? We talked about the self-image database. Do you remember these things we talked about in our first session? And this can be in the wrong fashion too. Jesus said out of the heart will come murders, thefts, adulteries. This all starts in the wrong use of the imagination. Seeing it produces it. Say it. Seeing it produces it. Say it again. Seeing it produces. That's one of the steps. So watch this. You find out what God's Word says, and then you begin to capture the right and proper use of your mind and your imagination, and you begin to see yourself in your own business. You begin to see yourself with a home that you don't yet have. You begin to see yourself with self-control and patience, whereas before you just go up and knock people's head off and then ask questions later. You know, you begin to see who you are in Jesus instead of who you are in yourself. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Now let's look at this. Romans chapter 8. Isn't this exciting? Glory to God. Ooh, glory. All right. Romans chapter 8. I want you to mark verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. But they that are after the flesh, mark this, what do? They mind the things of the flesh. Now let me add something to this. Watch this. We said that there's what? The natural man, the spiritual man, and the what? The carnal man. Let me just kind of reread it, and I think it's perfectly legitimate to do it because the word carnal means flesh. It says, but they that are after the carnal do mind the things of the carnal. In other words, they're still in the in-Adam mentality. They're still in the in-Adam mentality. But verse 5 goes on to say, but they that are after the Spirit, and it's implied, but they that are after the Spirit, they are minding, that is, thinking about the things of the Spirit. That's exactly what we saw in 1 Corinthians 2. But we have the mind of Christ. And they've put it on. They've put it on. Look at the next verse, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, mark it, is life and peace. Everybody say life and peace. Go to chapter 12, Romans 12. Romans 12. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. We're talking about seeing yourself as God's Word says you are. You want to discover who you are in Christ? All right, you got to find out what God's Word says. And then number two, you got to have the right and proper use of your imagination and begin to see it as so. Begin to see it as so. I had to see myself as a pilot before I took my first lesson. I never would have gone out there. I went out there because I envisioned myself as a pilot. I had to go and envision myself with an airplane before I had one penny for an airplane. Are you kidding? There was a day I didn't even have enough money to take a lesson, much less on an airplane. But yet I'd sit at the airport and I'd just see myself not only as a pilot, I'd see myself in an airplane. Here come an airplane to land, and you know, everybody else just saw an airplane landing. Me, I saw myself in the airplane. Red Baron for Jesus, here I come. And guess what? I'm flying today for the Lord. Now, I don't take credit for that because in my own pilot, I could have never done that. But you know what? I've learned. I've learned. I can put on who I am in Christ in my mind, and I'll begin to see it come to pass. I can put on who I am in Christ, and I'll begin to see it come to pass. It works for character. It works for things like homes and food and clothing for your children. You begin to see it, and you'll have it. You'll begin to see it, and you'll have it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. So you come to God and say, God, I give you my body. My body is not my own. I'm not going to let my body go to the bar if it wants to go to the bar. I'm not going to let my body do this. God, my body belongs to you. It's now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then look at the next verse. What controls your body? It's your mind. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Mark it. But be ye transformed. This is what we're talking about. But be ye transformed. Mark it. By the renewing of your mind. You're changing your mind. Have you heard people say that? I changed my mind. Mm-hmm. You ever hear people say, well, he's lost his mind. He's changed his mind. You know. That's what you need to lose your mind. Amen. I said you need to lose your mind and put on God's mind. Amen. You do need to change your mind. Brother Jason, do you think I have a problem? Yeah, it's not really that big. You just need a brain transplant. That's what you need. Amen. Praise God. Open your head up and put a new brain in there. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mark it. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many of you want the will of God in your life? I don't know anybody who wouldn't want that. If you say, you know, what do you want, the devil's will, or do you want God's will? Most people, I want God's will. All right, you're going to, listen, you'll never have God's will unless you get hold of your thinking. And it's your thinking that'll get hold of your body. Yeah. And it'll make your body do the things that it's supposed to do. You can't make your body is not going to obey in and of itself. Your body will serve whatever is its master. So you've got to have your mind now controlled by the Word of God, who you are in Christ, the right and proper use of your imagination, and then your body begins to go in the right direction. And guess what? You begin to walk yourself into the will of God. You begin to walk yourself in the will of God. So number two, we said you must see. Everybody say see.
See.
Everybody say envision.
Envision.
Imagine.
Imagine.
See it.
See it.
So you've got to see it and imagine it, and then you're on your way to fulfilling it. All right, number three, the third main key for discovering who you are in Christ. You find out about it. You see it. The third thing, I want you to write this down, speak in line. You must speak in line with what God's Word says about your new position and possibilities. You must begin to speak in line with what God's Word says about your new position and possibilities. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you see, this goes right hand in hand with seeing it. Once you see it, you've got to say it. And let me have you write these little three things down. You see it, you say it, and you do it. You see it, you say it, and you do it. Everybody now, see it, say it. A little louder now, see it, say it. Faster now, see it, say it, do it. Come on, see it, say it. Another, see it, do it. That's what you've got to do. You begin to see it, then you begin to say it. And as you do those two things, you'll find the doing very easy. A lot of people try to do it before they've seen it and before they've said it, and then they wonder why they can't do it. Romans 10, and I want us to look at verses 8 through 11. And in your notes, I want you to write this down before we even look at this. There is what I referred to the other session. There is a heart and mouth connection. There is a heart and mouth connection. Now watch this. In the last key, we said what? You've got a what? Look back in your notes. You've got a what? You see it. Now, where does the seeing take place? The seeing takes place in the realm of the imagination, which is a part of the heart. It's a part of the heart. Part of your heart. You've got to begin to dream about it. You hold it long enough on the conscious level, it'll root down and program even the subconscious, or what the Bible uses the term, the heart realm. And so you begin to see it in your heart. And then there's a connection between the heart and the what? The mouth. And now you're going to release it with the mouth. Now look at this in Romans 10. These are salvation verses. These are salvation verses. But the principle is ever true in everything that you do for the Lord. Romans 10, and let's look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now in verse 8, I want you to mark the phrase mouth, or the term mouth and heart. He says, thy mouth and thy heart. Thy mouth and thy heart. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, here it comes again, with thy mouth, and shalt believe, here it comes again, in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here it is again. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, everybody say the heart.
The heart.
All right. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, everybody say mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now look at verse 10 closely. This really is, and I'm going to use a term I hesitate to even use, but I really want to drive the point home, so I'm going to overstate the case. This is the formula for salvation. I hope you realize that just because somebody repeats a little salvation prayer, that doesn't necessarily mean they're saved. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, just because somebody comes down here and you leave them in a prayer out loud, I mean, a parrot can say a prayer. But if you look closely at that verse, it says you've got to believe in your what? Heart. And confess with your what?
Mouth.
And so you're after the heart and the mouth connection. Now, here's why we lead people in prayers. We lead people in prayers not because it's the only way to get saved. In fact, you'll not find anywhere in the Bible that it says you have to pray the salvation prayer. That's not in the Bible. But we do it because we understand the principle that when people say it with their mouth, it helps express what's in their heart. Also, it helps to reinforce their heart with the right thing.
Yeah.
And we understand that. And so we're simply trying to assist people and help them come to the Lord through what has commonly become known as the salvation prayer. But you'll not find that in the Bible. So you're trying to get the heart and the mouth connected and operating in the person's life. Now, don't miss this. We understand this for salvation, don't we?
Yeah.
Believe in my heart. Confess with the mouth. I'm saved. We come over here trying to conquer anger, or trying to see ourselves in a business that we don't yet have, or on radio stations that we're not yet on, or whatever it is that we're trying to do for the Lord or God would have us to. We have to go right back to the same simple principle. I first find out what God's Word says. I begin to see it, that is, believe it in my heart. And then the next step in order for it to be activated is to what? Say it. You begin to speak in line with what God's Word says. So I correct myself. Never to say again, well, I just can't control my temper. Ooh, that I just as soon curse as say that. I just as soon curse as say that. I think it'd probably be better off than to just say a bad word.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying go say bad words, but I mean, that's just like cursing.
It is.
When you finally understand, you know, somebody who doesn't know this, then they don't know, they're not held accountable. But once you begin to see who you are in Christ, it's corrupt communication.
Yes, it is.
It grieves the Holy Spirit for you to go out and say something that you are that you really aren't, now that you're a believer.
Praise God.
To go out and say, well, I just don't have enough to go to school. Who told you that lie?
Really?
God's Word says He shall supply all your needs. Get in Christ minded. And so, you've got to get your heart and you've got to get your mouth connected if you are ever going to walk into who you are in Christ. If you're going to put on your in Christ self-image, if you're going to conquer what others have said about you and what your past failures would say about you, you're going to have to begin to get hold of what you imagine and what you say coming out your mouth. Now, look at verse 10. I want to read this in a different way, and I'm not trying to be cute when I read it this way. I hope you'll see the principle. Look at verse 10. You could just as well say this. It not only works for salvation. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto self-control, and with the mouth confession is made unto self-control. You could read it this way. For with the heart man believeth unto a new home, and with the mouth confession is made unto a new home. You just put in there anything that you desire. It's the same principle. Hey, if it works for the salvation of your soul, don't you think it's going to work for the transformation of your mind?
Yeah.
And your thinking? You can put it this way. For with the heart man believes unto a good job, a better job. And with the mouth confession is made unto a good job, a better job. For with the heart man believeth unto, you just fill in the blank, and with the mouth confession. With the heart you believe, with the mouth you confess. With the heart you believe, with the mouth you confess. Now this is so important if you want to begin to walk in who you are in Christ. Now see, again, and I go back to my own example, and I understand that you didn't grow up necessarily like this, but you can relate it to your situation. You know, this thinking would come to me. your dad was an alcoholic. And so you've probably got the same tendencies in your life. Watch out. And the devil try to put fear on you based on your past experience. And he'll even use that in a twisted way, so when the pressure gets on you, you'll hear things like this. Just go get a drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in a very twisted kind of way, the devil tries to drive you down the same path.
Yeah.
Based on a previous identity that you observed. It wasn't even your identity. It was your father's identity or your mother's identity or whoever raised you. Some sick foster person who didn't treat, you know, you with kindness. And what you've got to do is you've got to rise up and say, no, no. I've discovered who I am in Jesus.
Glory to God.
I've got Jesus genes running around on the inside of me.
Hallelujah.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a spiritual holic. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a wordaholic. Oh, I just like to overdose on the Word of God.
Praise God.
And then you begin to say with your mouth, I don't need alcohol. I'll never touch this stuff. I don't need it. I'm not afraid of it. I can be around it and witness to people. Won't harm me because I know who I am in Jesus. My strength is of the Lord. I have self-control. I have kindness. I have patience. I have the very character of God in me. And so you see yourself in a new role and you're saying it. Do you see that?
Uh-huh.
And guess what? It's coming to pass. You are literally putting on. Everybody say putting on.
Putting on.
You are dressing yourself up with what the Bible would call the new man. That is your new identity, discovering who you are in Christ. Quickly, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Just hang in there. We're just a little bit longer. Proverbs 4. And I want us to look at a series of verses that talk about this heart and mouth connection. You know, it amazes me how many Christians, and I'm talking about good Christians, who they make fun of the, you know, faith folks, and they make fun of all they talk about is the confession. All they talk about is this. Well, I'm telling you what, the Word of God talks a lot about it. I mean, we're not going to turn there now, but just try reading James chapter 3 about the power of the tongue. It says if you can get hold of your tongue, you can control your entire body. It says the tongue is like the rudder on the ship that controls the entire course of where you're going, just like the rudder on a ship controls that big mighty ship. The tongue is a very powerful force. Proverbs 4, we're going to go very fast, so follow me. Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 24. We looked at them, but I want you to see it again. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart. We're talking about the what? The heart and the mouth connection. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know how I would translate that? Watch what you imagine. Watch out what you see. Watch out what you let root down in your subconscious. And look at the very next verse. Isn't it interesting? Verse 24, put away from thee a perverse mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Right here in this passage is the heart and mouth connection all in one. Go to Proverbs 15. Just hang a right. Hang a right. Proverbs 15. And we're just going to hit some of the highlights. There are more than we can possibly get to. Proverbs chapter 15 and mark verses 2, 3, and 4. What a powerful passage. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You need to start using the knowledge of who you are in Christ with your tongue. Well, if you know that you're more than a conqueror, then let your tongue say it. If you know that God shall supply all your needs, then let your tongue say it. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools pours out foolishness. You know, a fool, he just says anything he wants. Well, I just believe in being transparent, Jason. I just believe in being transparent. I mean, you know, just let it all hang out. How many of you like to be around people who let it all hang out? Very few people. Let it all hang out with yourself. Look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Look at verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein, mark it, is a breach in the spirit. Did you know that when you put perverseness in your mouth and in your tongue, it just short circuits the power of the Holy Ghost? It says it's a breach in the what? The spirit. It just cuts short the power that God has, who you are in Christ. I mean, it's like cutting the wire in half. It short circuits the whole process. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue. You know what the Hebrew says? the healing tongue. How many of you need your identity and your self-image healed? How many of you need to conquer habits that you know don't please God? You need to be healed. He says the healing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. It's interesting to me. Watch this. In the Garden of Eden, we see something called the tree of what? Life. You can go to the book of Revelation sometime. You'll find this in about the very last chapter or so. There's the tree of life again. Guess where the tree of life is right now? Somebody said, well, I think of taking up to heaven. Uh-uh. The tree of life is in your mouth. The tree of life is in your mouth. You're going to eat what comes out of your mouth. Somebody said, I'll make you eat your words. You ever hear people talk like that? The little boys draw a little line in the sand. I double day cross that line, I'll make you eat your words. You ever seen boys talk like that? He crosses the line, he draws another one. You cross that one, I'll make you eat your words. They keep backing up. Unless Big Brother's there, then they're really tough if Big Brother's there. Here's the point. You don't have to make anybody eat their words. You're going to eat of your own words, whether you know it or not. What you say is what you're going to get. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Go with me to chapter 16. Quickly, chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verses 22 through 24. Proverbs 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. How many of you want to walk in understanding versus being a fool? Look at verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his what? The heart of the wise teacheth his what? Mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Do you see the heart and mouth connection right there? I certainly do. If you've got a wise heart, if your heart finds out about who you are in Christ, get your mouth involved. Look at verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I'm telling you what, there's power in good things put in your mouth. The last one, go to Proverbs 18, right next door. Proverbs 18. And I want you to mark verses 20 and 21. Some of the most powerful verses I know of in all the Bible on the heart and mouth connection. Proverbs 18, 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his what? Mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You know what that says? Honey, he's not talking about your belly in the sense of what you eat. He's talking about your life experience. He's saying a man's belly, that is what he experienced, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Look at verse 21. Death and life. Say it. Death. Say it out loud. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you understand this principle, if you'll begin to let your heart instruct your tongue, you're going to eat better. That is, you're going to experience better things in your life. So number three, we said, speak in line with what God's Word says about your new position and possibilities. The last one, number four, we said, see it, say it, and what?
Do it.
See it, say it, and what?
Do it.
So you can probably guess. Number four, write this down. The fourth key to discovering who you are in Christ. Act in line. Act in line with what God's Word says about your new identity. Act in line with what God's Word says about your new identity. This is our last passage. Go with me to James chapter 1. Are you learning something tonight? James chapter 1, act in line with what God's Word says about your new identity. Now, we started out by saying you got to find out what God's Word says. Then we said you got to what? See it. That is, get hold of your imagination process. And then we said you get your tongue involved with your heart, so you start saying it. And the very last thing to do is follow through and start what? Acting. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road, and I don't want you to miss this. I know we've had a long session, so just sit up. Come on, sit up. Stir yourself up. Amen. Poke that person next to you. Say, sit up. Get to attention. Amen. This is where the rubber hits the road, because it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to say it. And then it's quite another thing to start acting it out and doing it. And the Bible calls this being a doer of the Word. Being a doer of the Word. Let's read this passage, and then I've got a story I want to give you. James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word. Everybody say of the Word. Everybody say of the Word. Well, you know, when the Bible says you're more than a conqueror, then you've got to start acting like a conqueror. When the Bible says that you have patience, then you need to start yielding to the force of patience. When the Bible says you have wisdom, quit going around going, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, my God, oh, what's going to happen? You go around and say, Father, I think I've got wisdom. And then you begin to sit down with, that's why we need one another. You sit down with other spiritual people and you get wisdom. You ask God to speak through them. You become a doer. You do something. Do something. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, verse 24, he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso, look at this, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, mark it, but a doer, say it, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So James really is a book of faith must be followed by what? Works or action. Now here's the story. Do you remember the one I told you about my wife? When she came in with that little tape and she had, you know, kind of in a shy, bashful way said, Jason, I believe the Lord is leading me to start singing with soundtracks. And she was so shy about it at that point, she couldn't even sing it in front of her own husband in our own home. And she gives me a tape. I go in there and I listen to the tape. You remember the story. I am totally amazed. I come away. I think, well, this is a joke. This is Amy Grant or somebody like that. I mean, so good. I said, Martha, is this really you? That's me. All right. She had already started seeing. Watch this. She had already started seeing. She had discovered by the Spirit, not only by the Word, but we must also discover by the Spirit. She had discovered by the Spirit, I'm drawing you into a singing and worship ministry. She had started seeing this. She had started saying this. I found out to a couple of her friends who were singing. Now she comes and says it to me. I believe the Lord is leading me. I've got a tape. It's one thing to see it. It's one thing to say it. And then there comes the moment of truth where you must stand in front of a group and do it. Now, it doesn't matter if it's singing or if it's a new job or if it's house hunting. You go out and look at a house, the first day you come back, we can't afford anything. You know, that's what the devil said. We can't afford anything. I mean, you know, if you've ever gone house and you just come back, my God, you know, we'll never own a home at all, you know. And so then you got to go back out the second day. Get your flesh under control of the Holy Ghost. Go out the second day. Why? Miracles happen. I said miracles happen. And so you go out, you see, and you're doing it. Now, fear will try to stop you. Now, I want you to write this in your notes under this point. Because your biggest enemy to actualizing who you are in Christ is fear. Your biggest enemy to actualizing, bringing to pass your new identity, who you are in Christ, is fear. Fear. And so I can remember the Lord opened a door to a small church. And it was the first time. Martha's shaking like a leaf. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. God wouldn't have told you and you wouldn't have practiced and I wouldn't have said you can do it. And so she's up there. The first time, a little bit nervous, a little bit awkward. You say, did the fear ever go away? No. Did she do it? Yes. Write this in your notes. You must learn to do it afraid.
Yes, that's right.
You must learn to do it afraid. Why? If you'll do it even though you're afraid, you will conquer fear. And now, you ought to see my wife. I mean, she gets up there, she'll preach before she even gets going, you know. I mean, she'll walk back and forth. The other night I was watching and I thought, my goodness, that's good. Well, where'd she get that stuff? I wrote that down. She didn't get that from me. Where'd she get that? She's been sneaking around listening to somebody else. What have you been doing? And then she goes, go ahead and hit the soundtrack. And here comes the music. She's singing. Wah! No, I can't sing, folks. Okay. I do have some wah tapes back there. She walks up, you know, to the front row and just sings, sings, sings. I'm ministers by the Holy Ghost. She's walking around. Such confidence. And I'm just sitting there going, that's my wife? Now she leads worship. In fact, yesterday she led worship at the church we attend. We have two services, 500 in attendance each service. And she's up there leading the whole worship service. Confidence. But listen, that confidence is of the Lord. But that confidence didn't come until she made up her mind, God has said this, I'm seeing it, I'm saying it, and I'm going to do it even if I have to do it afraid. You must face fear in the face with faith, and you'll conquer it.
Praise God.
I remember when I first took my flying lessons. Now listen, you can sit there and read all the kind of books you want to. Yeah, I know about flying, uh-huh. I've got the video series on it. I've got the book on it. I understand aerodynamics. I understand the principle of thrust, drag, gravity, and lift. I understand it all. I know how that propeller turns round and round she goes. It's another thing to get your body and sit it in that airplane. It's one thing with an instructor. It's another thing when that wonderful day comes and the instructor closes the door. Before he closes, he said, take her around the pattern 5 times by yourself. Slam. And you're sitting in there with no instructor. You've had about 10 hours of instruction. It's you, you, and you. You taxied out to the end of the runway. I can remember so clearly. Even if you didn't know about confession, you would be doing it. I can do it. Understand how to say now. Put the throttle forward. All right, line her up. Line her up. Okay, get the pedal straight. Get the pedal. I mean, it's amazing how you start doing things even though you don't know. And I can remember and pushing the throttle forward. You run it down the runway. It's one thing to run it down the runway. Whoop! You're up in the air, and all of a sudden it realizes I got to get it back down. It's easy to get her up. You got to get her down now. And so I was so afraid. I mean, you say, were you afraid? It was more like my body was just automatically reacting. My knees were making music. Bam, 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 bam. And I can remember coming around and looking down, and that big old runway looked about that big. I said, oh, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, show both. So you get diverse tongues at that point. Oh, glory to God. You're coming around. And I can remember lining it up. And the first time, I did pretty good. Watch out for pride. I got, oh, praise God. I'm a pilot. Sky King. Sky King. Where's Penny? Sky King. Here I come. All right, you come back around again. This time I'm coming low. I'm about to clip the tops of every tree off. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken? Help me, God. I believe in the resurrection. I'll do anything. Africa. Africa. How many of you have been there? Now, I want to finish with this because this illustrates it. I cannot tell you how many times I would take a lesson that I would be sick to my stomach. Why would you put yourself through that, Jason? Because I knew that God had said you need to fly, because guess what? I wouldn't be in Buffalo, Texas tonight if I didn't fly. I mean, I'm just here to reveal my flesh to you. I'm not going to drive 16 hours to come preach 3 times. Unless Jesus himself walks through the wall and says, do it. And don't look at me so holy, you wouldn't do it either. For 16 years in a row. Every week of your life. And so I said, Lord, I've got... And so I knew God was calling me to do that. I knew I could do it if I could ever conquer the fear. But if you try to wait until every ounce of fear goes away before you do it, you'll never do it.
You'll never do anything. That's right.
You've got to act in line with what God's Word says.
Right.
There'll be times that your flesh will be wanting to argue with that person. And in your mind, you're just yielding. Your body is not yet lined up with what you know the Word of God says.
Yeah.
You feel that anger wanting to rise up and jump out like it used to. But you just go ahead and release love and joy. And you just make your body submit to what the Word and the Spirit knows is true. And you know what? Watch it. You're putting on the new man. Who you are in Christ. You're going into a realm that's beyond your own potential. You're doing God's ability. And now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Have you learned something?
Amen.
Look at the four keys again. Number one, what? Find out what God's Word says. Number two, what? Begin to see. Begin to see the right. Number three, what? Begin to speak in line. And number four, begin to act. Act in line with what God's Word says. This is the way you're going to conquer character. This is the way you're going to conquer the realm of ability. Everything, believe it with your heart, release it with your mouth, walk into it. And you'll have a new identity. A new identity in Jesus. Isn't that good?
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so glad God is God.
I am too.
I'm so glad He freely loves us. Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number. The toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.